Boker Tov. We are now on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, in the middle of the Amud, and we're going to hear several stories of plagues that particular neighborhoods were spared from, and against our intuition, it was not because of the great Gadol residing there, because of somebody who was lesser known who had some great merit. The Surah Havar Davrata. In Surah there was a plague, but it did not affect the neighborhood of Rav. Everybody thought it was because Rav lived there, and he had great zchuyot. So the people were shown in a dream, Rav's merit was so great that this would be a relatively insignificant salvation. It was because of a particular man. He used to lend people a hoe and a shovel to be able to bury their dead. Bidrokar tavut delekta, the town of Rav Huna, Drokart, there was a fire. Ushvuta Rav Huna lohavit leka, did not spread or affect the neighborhood of Rav Huna. Savminavus chuta Rav Huna denafish, everybody thought it was because Rav Huna is great merit. Itchazal b'chal mahai zutalei the Rav Huna, this is a relatively small piece for Rav Huna. Mishumahi itata, it was because of a particular woman who would keep her oven hot and then let other people use it. So people who did nice things for others, that itself was enough of a zchut to save their entire neighborhood from the plague or the fire. Amar leh Rav Yehuda. There were several stories about Rav Yehuda. Atu kamse. There was a word that locusts were coming. Gazar tanita. He made declared a fast. Then they turned around and they said, the locusts have come and they're not eating anything. So perhaps we should cancel the fast. What, did they bring their own trail mix? They bring their own food with them? They're going to eat. So we should continue fasting. They will eventually eat. So they told Rav Yehuda, in another case, they told him that there is a swine flu or something. The swine are dying. Gazer Tanita, he declared a fast. So does Rav Yehuda claim that when there is a plague, it is indiscriminate among species? So lo shani chaziri didamian meayhi livnei anoshi. The difference is that pigs' intestines are evidently similar to human intestines, and therefore this plague, if it's affected swine, it will affect humans also. Those interested, take a look at Tosfot's interesting comments on this about Amar leh Rav Yehuda, the second Tosfot on third Tosfot on the page. Then Amar leh Shmuel, a story about Shmuel Ika Motana Bechozoi. They said in Bechozoi there was a plague. Gazer Tanita, even though it was a distance away, he declared a fast. So they said, it's far away. There's no river that's going to obstruct the plague. In other words, there's continuous travel between the places. If there's a plague there, it will come here unless we are able to stop it. So they told Rav Nachman that there is a plague in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachman's in Babel. After all, if the mistress is suffering, certainly the maidservant will be. So Tama Digviro Vishivcha. So the only reason he did it was because Eretz Yisrael, relative to Bavel, is the madam, the mistress. Ha Shivcha Vishivcha lo. So obviously not with two maidservants, meaning if there was somewhere else in Chutz Laaretz, even though if it was closer than Eretz Yisrael, he would not declare a fast. But here we have Shmuel, who declared a fast when there was a plague in Bechozar, which is also in Bavel, like another maidservant, as it were. Because from Bechozar to Nahardea, where Shmuel lived, there were caravans that would come back and forth, and therefore they would be likely to bring the plague or whatever the virus was. Now we have a story about someone who lived in Pumbadita with Abai and Rava, and was certainly well less known than Abai and Rava, and yet he had greater merit in a sense. Abba Umana, he was an Uman, which means a bloodletter. He used to be greeted by the Beit Midrash of heaven, whatever that may mean, every day. Abaye only once a week on Erev Shabbat. Rava only got such a greeting every Erev Yom Kippur. So Abaye felt bad. Here he's devoting his life to study and to chesed. And this doctor has seven times as often is visited by heaven. So they told him, and this may be from heaven they told him, you cannot do what he does. He does great things. So what were the great deeds he did? When he would let blood, the first thing is he would separate the men from the women. He had a garment that had a hole in it, right at the spot where he had to let blood, so that the woman could wear that, and when he would let blood, he would put it on this woman, so he would not see her skin at all. Something else he did. He had a very modest place in the corner, hidden place, where people would pay him. If somebody had money, they'd put it in. If somebody who didn't have would not have to be embarrassed. If he would have a student come to him, he refused to take any fee. After the student stood up from having his blood let and resting, the doctor would again give the student some money. Marle zilbari nafshach, go heal yourself, go have something to eat. Yom achad shadar Abaye zugur rabbanu lemivtakei. So now Abaye, who had heard now about how great he was, sent two of his students to check him out and watch what they did. Otvinu, first of all, he sat them down. Viachlinu, he had them eat. Viashkinu, he had them drink. Umachlohu bistraki valelia, he gave them mats to sleep on at night. But Safra, Karchinu, Veshaklinu, in the morning they got up and they took the mats and they left. His own mats. Vekamu nefakolu l'shuka, they went to the shuk, to the marketplace. Vashkachinu, they found him. Amrule, they said, the students now said to Abba Umana, L'shaim meimar hechishavu, how much are these mats worth? Amrulehu, hachi v'hachi, he told them an amount. Amrule, v'dilma shavu tfei. And as they're trying to clarify that he knows that they took his mats. They said, maybe it's where they're worth more. Amalahu bahaki shaklinu, I know they're worth that, because that's how much I bought them for, and it was, I know they're mine. Amalai didachni hu bashaklinu minach, and they admitted that they're yours, and we took them for you. Amalai matuta minach maicha shabtinun. And now, please tell us, what did you suspect us of when you saw that we had your mats? Well, who amina, I figured, is what the doctor said, pinyon shvuim ikul rabbanon. Must have been a case where they had to ransom somebody who'd been captured, and which is a tremendous mitzvah, and so they took my items to sell them to raise that money. And they were too embarrassed to tell me, so they took it without telling me. In other words, he judged them way beyond kafschut, as it were. Amrulei hashta nishgalinu mar, so now that the jig was up, they said, okay, please take him back. Amrulehu mehahu shata aschatinu midatoi litzdaka. The minute that I saw that you had taken them, I decided they were for tzdaka, and they're not mine anymore. This is a coda to the story, is that now Abaye didn't feel so bad, evidently, because he realized how great this Abba Umana was. But Rav, in the meantime, who only got a visit once a year, felt bad on account of Abaye. Amrulei, so they said to him, this takes us back to the beginning of today's Limud, is that they told Rav, don't feel bad, after all, it's on your account that the entire city is protected. Okay, now we have another story about a Rabbi Broka Choza'a. Havishchiach b'shuka, Devei Lafet. He used to be in the shuk in this town, Levei Lafet. Havishchiach Eliyahu Gabe. And he had regular visitations of Eliyahu Navi. Amar le'ika b'hai shuka bar alma da'ate. So he asked Eliyahu, is there anyone in this shuk who's got a place in the world to come? Amar le'lo. Eliyahu said no. Adahachi b'hachi chazal hu gavra. At that point, Rabbi Broka saw a particular man. He put on black shoes, which was not the Jewish custom there. He did not have tchelet, in other words, he did not have tzitzit on his garment. So he looked like a non-Jew. Eliyahu then pointed to him and said, this one is a ben olam haba, this one is going to the world to come. So Rahat Batrei, Rabbi Broka, ran after him. Amalei, ma uvdach, what do you do? What are your deeds? What do you do for a living? Amalei, zil ha'idna v'tol ha'machar. So the fellow told Rabbi Broka, come back tomorrow, I'll tell you tomorrow. Which, of course, is strange. We'll get to that. So the next day, he asked him again, what is it that you do? Amrle zandukna ana. I am a jailer. Vasarna gavre lechud v'nashi lechud. The first thing is that I make sure to separate the men and the women in the jail. Or mina puryai bin hani lahani. I put my bed in between them. Kehechad alaitu l'dei surah. So that they don't violate norms of modesty. Kehazina bat Yisrael dihavi nochim ala inayu. When I see a Jewish girl that the non-Jews take a liking to, and I'm afraid they're going to take advantage of, masarna nafshoi matzlinole. I do anything I can, including risking my own life to save her. Yomachar havat nara murasa. There was a betrothed maiden, Gaban, who was in jail. Dehavu banochim inayu. The non-Jews were eyeing her. Shakli durdaya the chamra v'shdai la v'shipula. So I took some dregs and I threw them behind her. In other words, I took some dregs of wine and I threw them behind her. Amri distanahi. And I told them, you see, that she's having her period now, so they would at least leave her alone. Amrale, my time, a late lachute verame tzimisani ukmi. So the fellow, I realized this fellow was Jewish. He said, so why are you wearing black shoes and you don't have tzitzit? And why are you dressing like a non-Jew? Amrale, ayalna v'nafikna b'ne nochrim. I regularly interact with the non-Jews. Kechaloi, they do the yudahanan. I want them not to know I'm Jewish. Ki havu gazri gzerata. Evidently, he hung out not just with the non-Jews, but with the government. When they make a decree, modana lehula rabbanan, and I go and tell the rabbis, and nobody knows that I'm the mole, I go and tell the rabbis, uval rachmin vadli gzeratai, and then they pray, and they are able to cancel the decree. My tamaki amina lachana my uvadach marnali zil ha'ina v'tolamachar, so why when I asked you what do you do for a living, you told me to come back the next day. Because I knew at that moment they were plotting something. And I thought, before I have a conversation with this fellow, which is you, I'll go tell the rabbis that they should pray to have this canceled. So he told this story. In the meantime, two other fellows walked into the marketplace. Amrale and Eliyahu turned to him and said, here's another two fellows who have a chelik in Olam Haba. Azalagabai, you hear this conversation is much shorter. He went to them, Amarlahu Mayovadaihu, what do you do for a living? Amrule, and Noshe Badocha Anan. We are jokers, meaning clowns. Vadchinan Atsivi, we make sad people laugh. Inami ki chazinan betray di itlahu tigra bahadaihu. If we see people who have a fight between them, Tachinan Vavdinan Lahushlama, we make them laugh so that they make up. Good, so we have beautiful stories about individuals who are not well known, but in their own quiet way, accomplish great things, both here and in other worlds. The Mishnah stated, Al Eilu Matri'in B'chol Makom. This is Mishnah Hey, that said there are things for which we immediately have Hatra'ah. Tanar Banan, Al Eilu Matri'in B'chol Makom. Al HaShidafon, V'Al Yirakon, V'Al Arbeh, V'Chasil, V'Al Chayara'ah. So for different blights and for locusts and for wild animals that we have in the Mishnah. If it's a blight, the smallest size, already we fast. And when it comes to locusts, even if there was only one locust wing seen in Eretz Yisrael, we have a fast immediately. Now, when we talk about the wild animals, only if she is really wild. So not only if she's really wild, mishulachat. So how do we define that? What is wild and not wild? If she's seen in the city, that's mishulachat. If she's seen out in the field, that's not wild, that's where she belongs. Wild meaning uncontrolled and dangerous. Bayom, if you see her during the day, mishulachat, that's dangerous. Because wild animals walk around at night. And if she saw two people and she chased them, mishulachat, meaning she's not afraid of even two people, that's wild. If she hides from them, then she's not wild because she's afraid of them. And of course, the middle case is going to be what we have to test. What happens if she doesn't run away and she doesn't chase them and just stands still? If she goes and kills two people and eats one of them up, that's wild, mishulachat. If she eats them both up, she's just a carnivore. She's not wild. Altala gag v'natlat tinok mi'arisa. If she climbed up to the roof and took a baby out of the crib, mishulacha. Good. So that's the entire braita. Now, hagufa kasha. We're going to analyze it. There's an inherent contradiction. Amar dinir ata ba'ir meshulachad, you said that if she's seen in the city, that's called wild, lo shna ba'yom v'lo shna ba'layla, and you didn't distinguish between day and night. Meaning, even if at night you saw her in the city, you're going to call her wild. Hadamat ba'yom meshulachad ba'layla meshulachad, then you drew another line and said, during the day she's meshulachad, but if she's seen at night, she's not. So what happens if she's seen in the city at night? Kind of crosses your boundaries. So lo kasha hachikama, this is really how it should be read. Nirata ba'ir ba'yom. If she's seen in the city during the day, meshulachat, that's wild. Ba'ir ba'layla, and a meshulachat. But if she's seen even in the city, but it's at night, that's not called meshulachat. Inami ba'sadeh, afilu ba'yom, and a meshulachat. And even if she's seen during the day, but out in the field, that's not meshulachat. Meaning that both conditions are necessary conditions, day and city. Ba'sadeh ba'layla, and a meshulachat. Good, if she's seen in the field at night, that's not meshulachat, for sure. Ratashnei adam ratztachar, and meshulachat. So what we had another contradiction. You said that if she sees two people and runs away, and chases them, then that's mishulachat. So how meditana mishulachat? So the inference is that if she just stands still, that's not wild. Hadar mart nichbeit mimdei, and then we said what is not wild is if she hides from them. And mishulachat how medit mishulachat, and you can infer from there that if she just stands still, she is wild. So how do you answer that? Lokasha. Kan basades uchala agam, if it's in a field that's right near the marshlands. So if she stands still, she feels safe, that she doesn't feel like she has to hide. Kan basades sheinas uchala agam, but if it's a field that's not near the marsh, then she's gonna have to run away. If she's not, then she's dangerous, she's rabid or crazy. Tafash nevne adam keachad veachla achad mehen meshulachat. Shnehem eina meshulachat. It's a strange comment, that if she kills two people and eats one of them, she's wild. If she eats both, she's not wild. V'amar tafilu ratzta. But you just said that even if she runs after them, she's wild. So certainly if she kills both of them, she is. Now that's talking about if it's really in the marshlands. But in that case, even if she just runs after them, then she is considered to be... right. When do we say that she's wild? If she eats, if she chases and kills both of them and eats one of them, that's in if she's in her own comfortable environment in the agam, which proves that she's now acting violently. But if it happens that she is out in the city, then even if she just chases them, that's already considered to be wild. The last case that we saw was if she climbs up to the roof and takes a baby out of the crib. So mishulacha pshita, that's obviously mishulacha. Why do you have to tell me that? So amar papa kechuchei detsayade. Even if she's in a place where there are lots of wild animals, and I might think therefore her presence there doesn't mean much, but that comes to tell us that even in such a case, if she does grab the baby out of the crib, then she's mishulacha. Good. The next piece in the Mishnah said that al hacherev, if swords, that is soldiers, come through the countryside, that's cause for a fast. Tanu rabbanan cherev shamru eino tzurich lomar cherev sheino shel shalom. That doesn't just mean war swords, meaning soldiers who are coming to attack. El afilu cherev shel shalom, even if there are soldiers coming through that have peaceful swords, meaning like a peacekeeping force or something, they're just passing through and not planning to fight. How do I know that even that is dangerous? She'in l'chachev shel shalom yoter miparo nicho. Paro nicho, who was the pharaoh of Egypt in the 7th century, at the end of the 7th century, came through Eretz Yisrael to the north during the times of Yoshiyahu. He came to battle the Babylonians. And Yoshiyahu got in his way, and Paro said, I mean you no harm, meaning it's chachev shel shalom. V'av v'chein nechshav ba'melech Yoshiyahu. And nonetheless, Yoshiyahu suffered as a result, and that's how he died. Shalomar, Vayishlach Elav, the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, it's Pasuk Aleph on the page, is two Pasukim together. So Pasuk number one, Vayishlach Elav Malachim, Lemor Mali Valach Malach Yehuda. The Pharaoh said, well, I'm not messing with you. Lo Alach Atahayom, Ki Al Beit Milchamti, I'm going to fight my enemy. Elohim Amar Levahaleni Chadolacha Mi Elohim Asher Imi Ve'al Yashchitecha. Stay away and I won't hurt you. My Elohim Asher Imi, why does he say the God that's with me? Meaning that Pharaoh was evoking his own avodah zarah. My God is with me. So Amar, so what did Yoshiah, what was his mistake? Since after all, he's putting his trust in avodah zarah, I'll be able to beat him. So Yoshiah foolishly went out to war against him. And Yoshiyahu was hit by arrows, and he told his servants to take him away because he's very sick, he's in shock. This is two psukim later. Why do you say I'm very sick? It's like his body was made like a sieve. He was filled with holes and he was bleeding. That's the ma'od. What was it that Yoshiyahu was one of the great Judean kings, probably one of the top three Judean kings as far as his loyalty to God? What did he do so wrong that he merited dying in such a terrible way? He should have asked Yirmiyahu whether or not to go to war. He didn't ask him. Yirmiyahu was his court prophet and the prophet, proper prophet. So my darash, what was this drasha? What did he compute on his own that made him come to the conclusion that he should go to war without asking Yirmiyahu? So he went to the verse in Vayikra, the blessing that says, which is pasuk number 2 on the page. A sword will not pass through your land. My v'cherav, yilei m'cherav she'inah shel shalom, v'aktiv natati shalom baretz. The verse already says, I'm going to give peace in the land. So obviously the sword that's going to not come through the land is not a sword of war, because that's already promised. Ela afilu shel shalom means a sword of peace, meaning the real blessing is that no armies will come through your country, even if they're just passing through. What Yirmiyahu did not know was that his generation wasn't worthy of such a blessing. And therefore he should have let Pharaoh come through. When he was dying, Yirmiyahu saw that Yoshiyahu's lips were still moving. Maybe this means that Yoshiyahu said some terrible things in his pain as he was dying. So maybe that's why his lips are still moving. Maybe he's saying that. Instead, he leaned over and he heard that Yoshiyahu was accepting God's judgment. This is the pasuk in Echa. Hashem is righteous. I have rebelled. Yirmiyahu then added into that, responded with Ruach Hapeinu Mashiach Adonai Lokad B'Shchitotam, the very famous pasuk from Echa, a piece of which towards the end of the fourth parak of Echa, which is generally understood to be a commentary on Tzidkiyahu, but here it's darshan as being about the earlier king Yoshiyahu, who was far more righteous. Good. Back in Mishnah Vav, we were told that there was a kenim who came from Yerushalayim and they made a fast throughout the land because of a very small blight. And the vayaluhu kimlo tanur tvua o dilma kimlo tanur fat. How big was the blight? Was it the size of the mouth of an oven of wheat or of bread? Toshma kimlopi tanur vadain tibayaluhu kechisuya de tanura odilma kidara derifta de hadole lefuma de tanura. So we still don't know whether it is like the cover of an oven that size, or perhaps like the or perhaps it is like the bread that they put around the oven itself. Alright, the Hadulay the Fuma Tanura. So the answer is Teku. We really don't know what the size of this blight was. The second piece of that Mishnah says that they declared a fast because two wolves were seen eating two babies. And then the Rabbi Yossi said they weren't eating them, they were just seen. They appeared. And that's why they made the fast. So we have an expansion of that story. And evidently this is the same story. Wolves ate two babies, and they expelled them as feces. The chachamim ruled that the meat was tahor because it had already been digested. But the bones that obviously weren't digested, that came out as bones, were still tamei as tumat mate. Good. The next Mishnah listed things for which we call out on Shabbat. Rabbi Yossi said we don't call out in Tefillah, but rather for help. Aleinu matrin b'Shabbat. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have an expansion on that. Ir shikifor nochrim onahar. If a city was surrounded by non-Jews, or there was a river that was overflowing, this is in the Mishnah. Ve'achad svinami terefet bayam, or a ship that's sinking at sea, this is also in the Mishnah. And now we have several others. Ve'achad yachid shnerdav mnei nochrim nehilistin, or somebody who's running away from non-Jews, or from thugs, or trying to hurt him. Neruach Ra'ah, or he's gone crazy, he's got some sort of possession, he's running away. A person is allowed to abstain and to practice mortifications and to fast, even though he is an individual and not part of the community, is not participating. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, says an individual cannot do that. Because what will happen, he'll become weak, and people are not going to help him, and you don't have the right to practice mortifications and abstain from food and then become weak and have other people take care of you. What's his reasoning? The pasuk at the beginning of Bereishit, in pasuk number 5 on the page, says Vahi Hadam the Nefesh Chaya, man became, when he was created, became a living being. Neshama shenatati bacha hachayeha, meaning you are supposed to take care of your own life, and therefore you can't abstain and become hungry and emaciate and everything and then throw yourself on the mercy of others. Shimon Timani Omer Afal Adevrim. Shimon Timani at the end of that Mishnah said that you can also call out because of a plague, and the Chachamim did not agree with him. Now, Ibai Elohu. Lo Adu Lo Chachamim Shabbat. What does it mean? The Chachamim did not agree that we can call out for because of Devr on Shabbat. Aval Bachol Hodu Lo, but they agree that during the week you do. Odilma Lo Hodu Lo Klal. Perhaps they said, we don't do Hatra'ah for Devr at all. So Toshma Tanya Matriin al Hadever b'Shabbat and Tzurich Lomar B'Chol. We have a Tana who says that we, like Shimon Timani, we call out on Shabbat and certainly on Chol. Chanan Ben Pitom Talmidos Rabbi Kiva Shem Mekiva Omer. So a student of Rabbi Kiva said, Ein Matriin al Hadever Kol Ikar. We never call out because of Dever. Dever is not the sort of thing that merits Hatra'ah. So we see that the Chachamim who disagreed with Rabbi Shimon Timani, who here are presented as the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, said, we never call out for Dever. So we saw that in the last Mishnah that we fast for any kind of trouble that Tzibur has, with the exception of too much rain. My Tama, what's the reason that we do not fast or call out for help when there's too much rain? You don't pray to stop blessing. Too much blessing. How do I know that we don't do that? The famous pasuk from Malachi that we saw earlier in another context, where God says, bring your ma'asrot, and I'm going to give you a blessing, ad bli dai. My ad bli dai, what does it mean? Until you become tired, your lips become sore from saying enough, enough, enough. In other words, we never ask God to stop giving us blessings, even if we're overwhelmed. He said, by the way, in Bavel, we don't practice this. We do ask God to stop the rain, because in Bavel, the problem of flooding is much more acute, and too much rain can really destroy whole communities. If you have a year where there's lots of rain, so the people of the Kohanim and the Mishmar send a message to the Yisraelim in the same week who have the Ma'amad. Remember, we discussed the Ma'amadot a couple days ago. And they say, Tnu enechem b'achichem shebagola. Pay attention in your tefillah to your brethren in the exile in Bavel. Shloyeh batem kivrem, that they shouldn't be buried in their own houses because of flooding. Shalom Rabbi Eliezer, adhechem chamim yordim ripalu shelo yodu. So they asked Rabbi Eliezer, okay, at what point is there too much rain that we should ask that the rain stop? So he answered with an exaggeration. A man would stand on a very high place. We'll see how high it is. And he'll be able to shake his feet together in the water. We have a braita that's even higher than that. It says we could put his hands together in the water. So that's what I meant. His hands, his legs. Right? In other words, he could reach down with his hands and get them wet. I saw this Karen Ophel, this very high place. The Kamahu Taya, there was an Arab who went. Hirachiv Gamla, he was riding on his camel, he stood up. Vinakit Romacha Biyadeh, he took a lance in his hand. Mitchaze Iniva. And he lifted it up. He lifted up the lance. And it looked like a little worm. In other words, that was that high up, that from the distance that it looked like a little worm. It was an extremely high place. Tanu Rabbanan, Ratatigish Mechem Beitam, the blessing in Vayikra says, I will give you the rain in the proper time. What's that? So first of all, lo shikora v'lo tzmeya. Not drunk rain and not thirsty rain, meaning not too much, not too little. Ela beinonit. Shekolzman shakshamim merubin v'tashashin taris. If you have too much rain, then it can destroy the land. Ve'namotzia perot, and doesn't help with perot either, so the whole purpose that we're praying for rain, so that we should have a bountiful crop, is destroyed. When is the proper time for rain? On Tuesday nights and on Friday nights. That was what happened during the entire life of, or time of, Rishim ben Shetach, that the rain fell on Tuesday nights and on Friday nights. That all the crops were very large. The wheat was as big as kidneys, and the barley was as big as olive seeds, v'adashim k'dina rezahav, and the lentils were as big as gold coins, tzarumahem dugma ledorot, and they held on to, took examples of this, and held on to it for future generations, dodia kama hachet goreim, to show you how much sin causes, meaning how much we are able to control the success of the crops by proper behavior. This is a generation of Shem ben Shetach. Shemar avonotechem hitu eile, it's your sins that keep the good away from you. So you see, if you see what we could accomplish in a good era, here's an example of this wonderful crop. Make sure to act like they did so we can have that blessing. During the times of Herod, when they were involved in building the Mikdash, it would rain at night. It's a beautiful picture. The next morning, the wind would come and disperse the clouds, zacha chama, and the sun would shine, v'yatzu ha'am l'mlachtan, everybody would go out again to continue the building, v'yadu shemlechet shemayim bidehem, and they all knew that they were indeed doing God's work, and that's why they were blessed. So, everyone should have a wonderful day, filled with blessings, and Emir Tashem, we will continue tomorrow from the middle of Daf Chaf Gimel, Amud Aleph.